Okay. All right, I'd like to call the special meeting at 6 o'clock from March 6th to order. Roll call, please.
President Tatro.
Here.
Vice President Simon.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
I'll call public comment to order, but nobody's here, so I will close public comment. And I will now go into open session disclosure. If I could turn it over to staff, legal staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. The board is now adjourning into closed session regarding action item D1. There are no facts or circumstances to report at this time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'd like to return to open session and call for an adjournment. Is there a report?
Yes, sir. We are still on the special meeting. The board has adjourned from closed session regarding action item D1. The entire board was present during the entire closed session. There is no reportable action at this time. Thank you, sir.
I will adjourn the special meeting. Now we'll call the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay open. And if you'll all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming, and can I get a roll call, please?
President Tatro.
Here.
Vice President Simon.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Okay, with that said, we're going to open the meeting for public comment. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak to the podium, please, because we are taping. There will be no dialogue between the board and a commenter. Any clarification questions must go through the chair. Thank you, and I will have anyone that wants to come up for public comment. Any public comment? Sir, are you on your way here? Okay.
No, he's sitting down.
Oh, you're sitting down? Okay. One more time, any public comment? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment, and we're going to item C, presentation to code enforcement.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This evening we have our new code enforcement officer. As you know, Patty Cookson has been here for a number of years, and she was recently reassigned. And I am sorry to not have the name, but I'm sure he will introduce himself when he addresses the board. So come on up.
And welcome to Discovery Bay.
Thank you. My name is Joe Lozado. I'm the Senior Code Enforcement Officer for the East County Office. I'm currently providing lead directions for two other code enforcement officers out in East County. Larry Tolson is actually your Code Enforcement Officer for Discovery Bay, along with myself. Currently, we are just taking complaints and handling them as they're coming in. The majority of our complaints are boats and trailers right now. Okay. And we are catching quite a few people building without permits as of today. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Just so the community will know, when you come out onto a call or what, I don't sure how you what the terminology is. Do you kind of look around and see other? If you see other violations of some sort, do you initiate things or? Do
yes,
you
we'll still initiate wait? Everything we see upon the contact. If we receive a complaint about illegally parked RV. And we see them building, we're going to start writing for everything we see.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. All right.
Anything from the audience? Well, sir, thank you. And
thank you.
Welcome to Discovery Bay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to now item D and start with the sheriff's report, please. Somebody from the sheriff's department going to speak? Thank you.
He was hiding.
Oh, he's hiding behind the post. I didn't see his. Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if I have enough for everybody, but. Lieutenant David Hartman, I'm the Station House Commander for Delta Station. My report today consists of a very brief 44 tour reports for the month of February in the Discovery Bay area of this East County area. One incident that was newsworthy, and it's the incident I'm sure all of you are aware of, was the strong-arm robbery of the Safeway on Bixler Road. I'm really happy to report that this morning the lead detective in that case called me and told me that we have now positively identified the person that did that. And we have information now that that person is headed back to Cincinnati to be with his mother, and possibly information we're getting is enter some sort of drug rehab program. So there will be a arrest warrant put out for his arrest.
Good.
And we'll be working with the U.S. Marshals to get him into custody and bring him back to this area for prosecution.
Good. Excellent.
I can entertain any questions if anybody has anything on
anything for the board, please.
Yeah, this not pertaining to, say, the items that you've given us here, but just for general information, because I'm new to the terminology and the layout of the land a little bit, you mentioned Delta Station. Where is that location? And I'm under the understanding our office that's here is a substation?
Yes. Delta Station is our main area where we have all the patrol vehicles. My office is there. My sergeant's office are there. The deputies have their lockers there. So the way the sheriff's office works, we have a patrol division, and there's four station houses throughout the county. The area for the East County area is called Delta Station. There's Bay Station, there's Muir Station, there's a Valley Station. So this is a rather large area, the East County area, primarily pretty rural, rather than more of an urban setting when we get over to the Richmond area.
Right.
So we're in Oakley.
Oakley, okay.
The station house, Delta Station, is in Oakley.
Push the button.
East County area encompasses Byron, Knightson, Discovery Bay, Oakley, Brentwood, Antioch.
As a follow-up question, just because I get asked in the community a little bit, I know we have, if my understanding is correct, we have two full-time officers assigned to Discovery Bay.
They're called P units.
Okay. This isn't something that we could do today because it's always a money thing, but if we could have the staffing that would bring us to a level that would be have more officers on the on patrol or whatever, can you give me what would be the ideal? I mean, is it four or three or six, or in order to do, like, say, 24/7 coverage here?
For the Discovery Bay area?
Yeah, out of the substation here? Or
what's the exact population on Discovery Bay?
13,000.
About 13,000?
Yeah.
The rough estimate that nationwide police departments use that I've heard is one officer per 1,000 of an area. So, Tony, am I right on that? Is it 1,000?
You know, it'll depend. Basically, I know for us, for Contra Costa County, everything is based off of stats. And unfortunately, with the way the budget's set up with the Board of Supervisors, the sheriff has to work with that based off of the stats, calls for service, generally. The reports that he mentioned earlier, 44 reports, that's how many reports were written that an officer had to handwrite. But calls for service is greater than that. You might have 1,000 calls for service for this area for the whole month. And that means that an officer had to handle it either by phone, email, or in person. But based off of the sheriff's budget, manpower, I mean, it's a complicated formula for us. As far as you mentioned 24/7 coverage, you do have 24/7 coverage here. You just don't have resident deputies 24/7 out here. Yeah. You have an enhanced police coverage with two resident deputies. You also have a school resource officer and a crime prevention spot, which is what I do here for the community aspect of it. But you're covered 24/7 out here.
Well, I know that you guys are on patrol and doing that. I'm just trying to, at some point down the road, Mr. Livingston and I might have a discussion. right? I want to get some information so that I can talk intelligently, but we can do that later. Thank you.
And that statistic I quoted, it may be off. I'd like to talk to you further and find that exact number out for you.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Is crime up or down for 2013? What do you guys
in
hear?
This area?
Yeah, East County.
I would say that it's a little bit up right now. A lot of burglaries, a lot of thefts.
Are you talking about all of East County or just Discovery Bay?
I would say the entire county.
Okay. Anybody from the public have a question, Sheriff? Yes, ma'am?
Could you elaborate a little bit more about the Safeway robbery? I have not heard about it. Like time of day, age of the person?
It happened during the day. If you allow me a moment, I'll read you a quick summary of the incident. Unknown male adult walked into Safeway and went back to the pharmacy department where he told the RP that he was robbing her. This person gave the unknown male 670 pills, and then the unknown male left. The RP said that she did not know if the unknown male had a weapon or not, but assumed he did. So there was no weapon presented, but it's my understanding that he made some sort of motion or had a bag or had his hand in his pocket to maybe simulate, like, I have a gun. Mm-hmm. So that's what occurred. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, they got a really good picture of them. That's why we were able to identify them.
CHP, please.
Yeah, well, I don't drive on Wednesdays. Because I know they're here.
I'm Eric Brewer with the Highway Patrol. The stats for Discovery Bay for the month of February. The CHP wrote 162 traffic citations here in Discovery Bay. We made 2 arrests for driving under the influence and 2 arrests for hit and run traffic collision. One was a felony hit and run, the other was a misdemeanor hit and run. We investigated 3 traffic collisions, and again, 2 of those 3 were hit and runs, but both of the drivers were in custody. One was a felony DUI, so the person was under the influence, had a collision, fled the scene, was subsequently arrested at their residence. The crashes are a little bit on the high side for here, but 3 is not terrible. Just 2 of them kind of turned out to be a big deal. The DUI arrests are right along where they usually are for out here for an entire month's period. The traffic citations are up. You've got one officer that, Donnie Thomas, he's pretty dedicated out here, and he's really putting the hammer down on the speed and the stop sign. So that's where most of those stats came from, were from him.
I see him everywhere.
Yes, he is everywhere. I come out here probably once a week and try and get it myself. He's doing a phenomenal job out here. He lives out here and he really does care about it.
Good.
So.
Yeah.
He's a machine.
He is.
Any comments from the?
No.
Any better on Newport since we moved digital sign? Is any better on Newport for tickets?
You know, it's slowed down so much. I didn't even go over there today. I pretty much stayed on Clipper. And we began complaints on Pointed Timber, so I went over there for a little while. I only got about 12 or 13 out today. We were busy when the shift started. Donnie's running around here right now, and I put him on the radio, so he's writing a lot of tickets right now out here. So.
Good.
Any of the public have a question? Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate your work.
Thanks.
And the fire district. Where are you from, sir?
No.
We should have music with this.
Song it in.
No.
Good
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Battalion Chief Burris of East Contra Fire Protection District. I give you your fire totals for the month of February. We ran 43 medicals, up 3 from the previous month. 6 structure fires, up 3 from the previous month. 3 exterior dumpster fires, 5 vehicle accidents, 3 fire alarms, 2 hazardous conditions, and 4 public service calls for a total of 66, up from last month from 59.
Less days, more calls. Huh?
What's that?
Less days, more
calls.
Yes,
February was a particularly busy month.
Any reason you think for the structure fire? That's kind of a lot to hear.
Basically, February was cold. Uh-huh. We kind of went through that warm spell, and then people started burning stuff in the fireplace again and not opening their flues, putting debris from the fireplace in a garbage can next to the house is a biggie. When you dump your coals, they can stay warm for up to 2 weeks, so soak them in water. When you place them in your garbage can, and if your garbage can is full of waste products, it will burn hot enough, even if it's a stucco house, even if the fire does not get in through the eaves, you will heat up the nails that hold the lath and plaster, not the lath and plaster, but the siding on. Those nails act as heat sinks and will actually burn the walls, the studs, from the inside out. So if your garbage can catches on fire and you discolor your stucco, you should probably call us.
Okay. Any questions from anyone on the board?
One more thing. Please don't drive to the firehouse if you have a medical or any other kind of emergency. Please dial 911 because we are so short-staffed. Our engines are out and about on the streets. We're either running calls or training. So if you do have an emergency, dial 911 so we can get the closest engine to you as soon as possible. So you might drive your sick or injured loved one to a firehouse and nobody's there because they're already out and about.
I just want to make sure I make some comments why the chief is still here so he can take it back to the guys and tell them how much we appreciate their work out here. There was a fire about 4 days ago. And they were on site and had it out in 10 minutes. It was a garage fire. Great response. Our response times were actually down about a minute from 2012. So make sure the guys know that we really appreciate you guys being out here.
A fourth engine will decrease. Every time we add an engine, it will decrease your response times, especially your overall response times. Mm-hmm. We went from 9 engines down to 3 engines and a contract engine with Cal Fire. So when we brought the fourth engine up online, that'll decrease your times. And we have 11 recruits now.
Right.
When we laid people off, we laid some really good guys off that then got jobs elsewhere. So we're going to have to start over. But, yeah, as when the downtown Brentwood station reopens, you'll have a second and third engine that much quicker, which is really important. A lot of people don't realize, unlike the EMS world, when it's just you having a heart attack, and two or three, an engine company with 3 shows up, they're just dealing with you. But when your house is on fire, we're dealing with you and your neighbors, and it's very labor intensive. If anybody would like to come do a ride along who wants to find out exactly the life of a fireman and might not particularly value their fire department that they have, I more than welcome you to come out and do a ride along.
Thank you.
Chief, what is the average response time then?
7:55.
Well, yeah, I don't like
that. Out of our station, I got it right here. At a station 59, for in January there were a total of 55. Excuse me, in February there were a total of 58 calls, and the average response time, I apologize, was 7 minutes and 32 seconds.
I guess the ultimum would like to be at 5 minutes. Is that kind of the industry standard?
Usually, you like to have a fire station every 6 minutes, so they cover
right
geographical circles. But you're living in a rural community that's, our fire protection district is an umbrella of protection. We have a fire station in Discovery Bay, one in Brentwood, one in Knightson, and one in Oakley. And they basically converge on wherever the incident is at.
We're at the bottom end of the district for response times. The best response time is 6 minutes and 10 seconds out of the night station for the town.
Well, when you...
it's only 8 calls.
Well, when you look at the actual town of Knightson...
Right,
if you
that's why.
Sneeze or blink,
you're out of it.
You miss it.
But that's the lowest time, right. So we're right there at the bottom end of this couple of 648. Again, please make sure the guys know that we appreciate what they're doing for us.
Okay, I have some... ma'am, please come up to the podium.
Oh, okay. Just a question, quick question.
Any question? We're trying to tape this.
Okay.
So thank you for your...
I have a quick question about the no burn days that we have, and I'm always confused about it. When they're in effect and when they're not, I go to use my fireplace and I'm not sure what days are available and where do I find out? You know,
that's the area regional air quality board. You need to go on their website and find out from them. It has nothing to do with us.
Oh, so if we don't have no burn days?
We do. They're regulated by the Bay Area Regional Air Quality Board.
Not this time.
Am I correct?
And the battalion chief is going to tell you not to burn anything in your fireplace.
Not to burn anything.
Yeah. And let him tell you why.
Okay.
Right. Go.
Okay. Most of you who live in a newer home in Discovery Bay, unless you actually have a brick chimney on the exterior of your fireplace, you don't have a fireplace. You have a heat exhaust. And basically what that fire insert is for is so you can have a natural gas or propane hookup, and which will ignite and light, and then that will travel up that tin, either double or triple walled flue. When you actually have a fire, a traditional fire, as in wood, when that wood deteriorates and breaks down through the process of combustion, it will coat that inside tin tube or that traditional fireplace. As you coat that tube, one day you'll have a hot fire in that fireplace, all that creosote will ignite, and that triple wall tin tube is not designed to have that kind of thermal load in it. Now you might say, well, I get my fireplace cleaned on a regular basis, so now you've hired some 22-year-old gentleman to come out and stick a big pipe cleaner down there and vigorously work it up and down. Mm-hmm. Now that triple tin tube, as long as it's not molested, will stay perfectly in place. But if it's moved one direction or the other, you now have a void gap in that tube, which allows superheated smoking gases to enter into your chimney box. That superheated smoking gas then starts to attack the lining of that chimney chase, and that's how we have fires in Discovery Bay. And once you have a fire in that chimney box, it then progresses into your attic, depending on how quickly you realize that, and your house is on fire. And for those of you who think, well, I only burn Presto logs, basically a Presto log is even worse because a Presto log is held glued together with wood chips and paraffin and wax. And as they break down through products of combustion, that paraffin wax rises and then coats the inside of your chimney tube. And once that ignites,
fire.
You have a fire.
Come up to the podium, please.
One quick question. Is there any good news on, is it Station 58 that's closed? Or the one up the street?
There is no good news on Station 58.
No, not at ask.
There is no good news.
The good news is it doesn't have a fireplace.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, we don't have item 4 not here, and we don't have county here today.
Correct.
So we're going to close presentations, and we're going to go to item E. Are there any committee reports?
I believe that Director Pease has a committee report.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a long one. I happened to meet the code enforcement officer first time I went to a meeting at... Supervisor's office. Mm-hmm. It appears in Discovery Bay code enforcement's working pretty well because there wasn't too many items we needed to address.
Okay.
So I will commend the staff for doing what they do.
Thank you.
No further info.
Excellent. All right. And no any transplant? Planning Commission?
No.
Special districts? None of that. So we are now going to go down.
Mr. President, if I may.
You may.
At the next meeting, we are trying to get the planning staff here to, if it's not this coming meeting, the next meeting, give an update on some of the projects that are in the pipeline.
Oh, absolutely.
Specifically the Newport project.
Okay, excellent. Okay, we're now going to go to E, F, I'm sorry, consent calendar.
I'll make a motion we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Is there any conversation? Anything from the audience on the consent calendar? Seeing none, I would like to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. It's 5-0. We'll now go to item G, new business. First item.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah. We're going to try some new technology here this evening.
That's right. We're going to try.
Our parks and landscape manager is out of town on business, attending a California Parks and Recreation Society conference. And we have her online on Skype, and she will be giving the report this evening. And we're going to go ahead and move items number 1, 2, and item number 7 at this time. So we're going to move item number 7 up when we get to when we finish up on item number 2.
Okay. When are we going to do number 7?
We're going to do number 7 after number 2.
Okay.
Move that one up.
Are you starting with 2?
You're starting with 1?
We're starting with item number 1.
Okay.
Item number 1 is the review discussion of the operating capital budgets for the Contra Costa County Landscaping and Lighting Zones 37, 57, and Zone 61. And Farron Perez, as you can see, is online, and she's going to go ahead and give that report this evening.
Good evening. Thank you. Sorry, I have a little bit of feedback. Just one second. These budgets presented to you tonight cover actually two fiscal years. It covers a fiscal year 13-14 and 14-15. We put together this budget this way to the county because of the park transfer agreement and the this assists us in determining in our negotiations with how to split the funding between the parks within the zone, between the park and the streetscapes, and what's going to be allocated to each. The budgets here are part of the negotiations that we will be having with the county, and there are it should be noted that they do have some concerns. We will be sitting down with them next Wednesday morning to discuss some of the concerns with the budgets, but we wanted to make sure that this came to the board and that you had the opportunity for input and any concerns or comments, so that while we're going through negotiations with them, that this is something that you guys are aware of and have input on.
The budgets that you have before you, this board does not approve those budgets. You have input into these budgets. They are ultimately approved by the Board of Supervisors, as they are owned by they are currently owned by the county. And those are the projects, the parts that we're working with the park transfer agreement on.
Is there any just comments on item 1 from the board? Anyone in the audience have a comment on item 1? Okay, let's go on to item 2.
The second item is the discussion and possible action regarding the Earth Day project for 2013. As you know, we've been working on that project. We started last year with the first effort, It's Life of Park. It's going to take place this year on April the 20th. We're planning on utilizing the new community center site for that. And Farron and her staff have been working diligently towards developing a plan on that. And so she will give you a little bit more of an update.
Thank you, Rick. Yes, we've been starting to plan preliminary plans for this year's Earth Day event. We've planned to have it at the community center just so that it was a way to bring the public in to see what was going on there, as well as celebrating the Earth Day. I can tell you so far we're planning on working together with HALO, which is a local animal rescue group, to do a dog parade. We still would like to do our volunteer projects. One, which has already been approved, which is the Blue Star Memorial at Cypher Park. A secondary one, which the Community Center Committee has recommended move forward, is a community garden site at the Community Center site. And then as well as doing our vendors and the festival, the Kids Zone, and everything that we did last year, and then wrapping up the evening with a concert on the back lawn. We are requesting a budget not to exceed $4,000 to promote and plan this year's event.
Where does that come from, Karen?
I believe this is part, Rick had budgeted for this from the, Rick, you may have to answer.
Yeah, we have we're getting a little bit of feedback there, Karen, I'm sorry. We have budgeted funds in the current budget, in the current year's budget, for district outreach activities, and the birthday was contemplated in the preparation of this year's budget. So we're recommending that we allocate $4,000 of that budget that was programmed for this event.
Okay. That's out of the wastewater general budget, right?
It's out of the entire town budget, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
No, it's out of which budget?
It's
the town budget?
Yeah. Bill? Okay. Chris? Okay. Anything from the audience on this? Please come up, sir.
Frank Fish. And last year we tried to hold a barbecue in the back lot. This is a disaster because not only had the barbecue been decrepit for 3 or 4 years, but it was just filthy. And I hope somebody's doing something about that.
Well, thank you for the input.
To answer his question, we were actually out there and worked in the visited barbecue the other day, and we have a plan of action.
Good.
To make corrections there.
Any other comment? I'm sorry.
I would keep waving at you, Farron, but you can't see us.
Anything else, Farron, on item two?
Nothing else under item two. Okay. It's more of just an informational item, and I would like to mention that the Community Center Committee has reviewed this at their last meeting, and they did recommend moving forward with the project.
Okay, sounds good to me. We don't need a motion for this, we just information only. Okay. We are now going to item seven.
Item seven is, there's no staff report on item number seven, however, there is a handout. When we took ownership of the community center, there was an existing fee structure that was in place that was hosted by the prior owner. And so what we did, we continued to maintain that same fee structure that was in place. What we found out subsequent to that is that there were a number of members that were paying a fee that was different than the posted fee structure, and that was as a result of prior commitments and members of the athletic club had been there for a number of years. As rates went up, their rates stayed the same. And so when we started collecting money this past week, beginning of March, we did have a number of residents, I'm sure those are some of the people in the room here this evening, that did voice some concerns to us. And so what we've done is we've gone ahead and presented to you what the fee was that we moved forward with, which is the first page of that. And the second page is the proposed fee schedule that we would charge based on taking a look at number of different considerations, and Karen, if you go ahead and get into that, that would be appropriate.
Yeah, the new fee schedule, besides just starting off at what the old clubs had left off with, took a number of the accounts that they had, took an average. So that's the first thing we did was if there was a group of 100 single individual users and they were paying four different price levels, what was the average of the entire group? We also considered our competition and what other health or other fitness facilities are charging for similar, if not better, facilities. And so we tried to put these fees in line with what would not only keep the people who have been previous members there and wanting to continue to stay and use the facility, but also help bring in new users and residents to the facility.
I have a question. Does that mean that we're no longer have an advance fee and a current fee? It's just one fee?
Yeah, yes, yes. Again, the way that we're finding, because nothing's really been defined and it just seemed to make sense with the system we're running, and because there may be some changes to the fee structure during this this work we're going to be doing with this consultant, that it just seemed easiest, simplest to just make it one fee per month. If you want to use it, there's no contract. It's just a monthly fee. If you choose to pay in advance, you can, but you're not required to. And so anybody who's paid before would be adjusted to this, and we would credit their account. But most of these fees have been reduced from what was previously approved.
Okay, I'm going to read the fee, new fee structure. Just
they're so in the back. If anybody hasn't received them, they're on the back table.
But I will read it. The new team fee is $35.
Is it proposed?
Proposed. This is a proposed based on the board vote tonight. Would be $35. A single is $45. A couple is $65. A family, two adults and three children, $75. $5 for it per child. Tennis, teen, $25. Single, $35. And couple, $50.
One of the reasons that we can't, we can offer, we thought about offering, as you can see on the first page of the advance pay, we don't, prior ownership in any EMT, electronic fund transfer, we are not offering the EMT opportunity. With the new program that we have in place, users of the facility can go online and pay by credit card, they can come in and pay by check, and we'll need to deal with the cash issue in that after the board later date. So that was the reason why it was difficult for us to offer a discount similar to what prior owners had in place.
I have one more question. I was at the center today, and we had inspected over, it's called a children time, or basically people come in and drop their kids off, and where it says here we're going to collect money, but we haven't been. Are we going to do that?
Well, the prior owners did not collect extra fees, and we have some concerns about being a public agency, that we need to make sure that there are certain rules that are followed, and there have to be certain age limits, and they were providing daycare free of charge. And so there's some additional staff, and so we want to engage just in the first 3 weeks. It's been lightly used, but it's been used. But we believe that it is appropriate and not uncommon to have that as a problem.
Okay. I'm just bringing this up and telling you what's on the schedule. We're talking about it, so.
The last discussion we had, the Community Center Committee brought to the board an excellent suggestion that we do not touch the rates in the gym and in the athletic center. That for the next 90 days, we leave it exactly as what we iron this out, we look at. This has turned into a crap storm, to tell you the truth, overnight, and it's not necessary. To me, staff should have gone to the athletic center and gotten the roster of paid members or active members and found out exactly what they're paying. Some of you grandfathered at lower rates, some of you grandfathered at higher rates, whatever. I don't care what the rate was. And as per our agreement with the board, we should have left it alone for the next 90 days where we iron this out. We're now bringing people in here and starting this, which is the first time I've seen it. And I'm certainly not prepared to vote on it. I don't know what people have been paying with, because you've never brought this stuff. And I was hoping that you would have.
We brought to you what the fee structure was in place for using the facility when the transition of ownership occurred.
What happened last Saturday? Hang on a second. Let me finish this, please.
We had a member that became belligerent and that waved a check in my face and basically said that you are refusing to take my check. And I said, no, I do not have the ability to lower the rate that the board had previously approved. We will be addressing it. And that's what I told that individual.
Can I go one step further here? Had we gotten the information from the athletic club before we did this, it would have shown what that person pays every month. And when we adopted the board, the committee's recommendation, which we did, we would have known exactly what that person paid. And when he brought his check in last Saturday, he would have said, yes, you're right, you're on this roster, that is what you pay. And avoided this whole thing.
We have still asked the owners, prior owners, for that information as of this afternoon, and we have still been denied access to that information.
We don't have
all the only thing that we have is a list of is a schedule of the number of people that were paying in certain price points. And one of the things that we have learned just recently that has come up, and we lost her, that we have learned is that that charging members of the public different rates for the same thing. Different rates for the same thing is problematic. That there needs to be a consistent fee schedule across the board. And so that's what we are trying to accomplish. And what this does is it reduces across the board all the rates and creates a little bit of an opportunity for tennis to be autonomous. As the committee is going to continue to move forward with identifying what a fee structure would be. But in conversation with our legal counsel this afternoon, it was presented that there is an issue that having different fees for the same service is something that we should probably stay away from. And consequently, that is why we developed this proposal to present to the board.
Yes, please.
I'm glad that they've gone out and got some comparisons or went out comparison shopping. I think that's important. To me, it's still too complicated here. I know we'd gone and followed the previous structure that was given to us, and all we had was some bank records, but we didn't have that history. But I think that the community center committee, again, we don't have to meet next Tuesday or Monday, but I think that that should be a discussion outside of this meeting today.
I agree. We should take no action.
One second, let me finish with the board and I'll go out to the public. Yes. Any, Bill?
Well, I'm glad to see the fees went down, at least the proposed fees. Yeah. One of the questions I would have before we even move along would be to find out what is the usage, and those numbers are going to come later down the road. I mean, it's too early to have a head count. We just got started. So the end result, fees, whatever they end up being, naturally is, well, it costs X amount to run the facility, and we get X amount from the users. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens down the road on that to make any firm decisions.
Yes.
The only, with all due respect to my co-director here, Director Steele, by delaying the action on this, we're going to create more issues such as happened on Saturday. Because by bringing the rates down, because we then won't be able to take action on this for another 2 weeks as a board, because the committee can't set schedules. Committee can't make that decision. They can only make recommendations. Two members of the board of the committee are here currently today. We may not agree, but that happens once in a while. But based on my membership at other facilities in the area, these fees are comparable and lower, depending on what category you're looking at. And I think it's important, and I have to say that I have the same misunderstanding that Director Simon had. I thought we had access when the committee made the recommendation to the board. I thought we had access to those records. So when I made the comment, we're going to keep the rates the way they were, I thought that meant per individual. What I didn't know at the time, and remember, this was all fast track. This is, we had just closed and we're having meetings within 10 days trying to get our arms around this whole thing, trying to get it cleaned up, trying not to lose members, trying to show support for the club, and that information didn't get transmitted to me properly. So I plead guilty for not knowing that that's what was, that we did not have access to those records. But what I would like to recommend and what I would like to make a motion of tonight is that we adopt the proposed schedule here tonight so we can effectively be competitive with other gyms in the area or other athletic clubs in the area, that we can be competitive with the pricing. And if there's one or two individuals whose fees actually go up, that's unfortunate. But I think the majority of the fees will come down. I may not have any basis for saying that, but that's how I believe that to be true, just based on what I'm seeing here. We cannot be responsible for whatever individual deals that were made by the previous owners that we're not privy to.
Mr. President?
Yes,
sir. Prior to, I think, the board making any motions on anything, we might want to hear from the public.
We will.
Well, you can make a motion at any time and take a second and go to comment.
I will go to comment before we vote.
I'll make a motion. I'm ready to make a motion.
I would like to go out to the public first. That's the way I'd like. That's why I want to run the meeting. We'll go out to the public, then we'll have a motion. Thank you. Yes.
Me again.
Frank Please, Tish. You again. Thank you. Come up again.
Frank Tisch.
Yes, sir.
If I read the fee schedule, my fees went up $10 a month, so I take issue with the fact that fees went down. I have a family membership, and I pay by the month. I get an individual statement, which I'm not sure that the community center is going to give me in the future. I think they should, because we pay as individuals, not as groups or categories. And my basic question coming here tonight was, what are the benefits for being a member versus just being a member of the community? It's a community center. What does that mean? You have to be a member to be part of the community center? That's a question.
These aren't membership fees. These are user fees. If you'll check with community centers all over the Bay Area, if you want to use the facilities for personal use, they charge user fees. We're not unusual in that. In fact, we're consistent with the Bay Area in that. This is not a membership. No, it says fees. These are user fees. They're not a member. This is not a membership club. In fact, the community center is open to the public. But if you want to use certain facilities, if you go to Hard in Hayward and you want to have your wedding at their facility, you have to pay for it. They don't give it to you for free because you live in the community. No. So it's the same idea.
Not Cornell Park.
As far as I know, we want to wait. The whole purpose of setting up a starting point was to give us 4 months to wrap our arms around how we want to end up making this run. So this is an interim plan, and then in 4 months we are going to decide, you know, how we're going to do it. Because it is a community center. I'll get back to you. I'm not closing public comment, but I just want to make this comment. So please come up, sir.
Yeah, I'm Al Grella.
Yes.
Actually, a couple things that we see. If you looked at the rates, you should have taken the lowest common rate, and then you would have had no complaints from anybody. What you're getting, though, is people, and most of us, are going to be paying considerably more than we were paying before. And we look at it as you're just using the money to fix the place up, which, frankly, should have been done God knows how many years ago. And we figure that just for the water bill alone, that place should come down. You got to ask yourself the question, is it one of two things? Is it a community center or is it a club? And if you're going to price it as a club, then that's fine. But your facilities better match Diamond Hill or other places that are within 20 miles from here. And they don't. They're not even close. And if you're asking us to wait 4 months, I'll be at Diamond Hills because facilities aren't that good. You've told us no changes other than fixing things. Mm-hmm. And you said nothing is going to be changed on the courts other than making the lights work. Right. Again, what's different? Cornell Park are better courts than what we have there, and yet we're paying for those. If I was going to a community area in Oakland or somewhere else, I'd put 50 cents on the thing for a half an hour of the lights. That's it. It's city maintained. Yeah. And then we'll throw one last thing in here. The two of us prepaid. we're 4 or 6 months out already that we've already paid for, and you're asking for us to pay for it again even more. I know, you've said, talk to the old people. Well, we tried. They never answered the calls. Yeah, they said, we talked to the escrow agent. You talked to
him. I talked to the escrow agent. My name is Neva Burdick. I'm sorry for not letting you know. I did talk to the escrow agent. I did talk to the realtor. Everybody's bouncing us back and forth saying, well, it was just purchased as land. It wasn't purchased as a business. If you got the records from the athletic club, you would see I'm prepaid through to November or December. Then somebody's telling me I got to come back in and pay to play tennis on courts, you know, and I've already paid my fees. Okay, if this is a community center and we all pay taxes and we all do our thing here, why is it until you guys get your fee schedule together that we can't play on these courts? We have a group of 18 people or more playing on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And that's money, even at $35, you guys would get something to play on the tennis courts. But $70, I can't afford to do that. I've already paid once.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have a public comment? Please come up.
You guys didn't expect this tonight, did you, with all the people? The comments made previous to me coming up here, I thought Mr. Simon brought up a good point. I thought a meeting ago, at even the community center meeting, it was said, okay, we're going to just kind of keep everything status quo for the next 3 months and formulate this program of what we're going to charge. Well, I don't know whether you know it. It sounds like you do, but people came in this weekend and they went to check in, and if they hadn't paid their bill for the month, then we're going to let them work out. And they said, well, we didn't know anything about this. Well, the letter was right here on our counter. Well, I haven't been here for a week. And that's kind of the bedside manner it was used. You don't pay right now, you don't get to work out. And then also they said, well, you get a discount or whatever. Now, I don't know. I think I know who formulated this. She's not here to defend herself, but I can understand why everybody's upset about it. And I think we have to look at it that way. Hey, let's decide tonight. Let's not have another meeting to decide it again. Let's make a decision tonight exactly what we're going to do. Otherwise, you're going to have the double amount of the people you have here tonight, the next meeting. And I think you can put it to bed by saying, hey, we're going to come up with this plan tonight. This is our plan through the end of June, and then we'll formulate whatever we're going to do from comments made and everything else by that time. But people showing up, and 1 month they're paying $35, and next month they're asking for $70, or vice versa. I think we could straighten that out.
Thank you.
I have a question.
We're not going to go back and forth.
I was just going to ask him how much he
okay, go
paid.
Ahead. Okay, you know, how much do you pay, sir?
How much do I pay?
Yes.
I've been a member for 33 years. I pay $70 a month for my wife and I.
Mm-hmm. For family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now they're telling me we're supposed to pay $80 a month now.
The new proposal is $75, but
$5 in 33 years ain't too bad.
Pardon me?
$5 in 33 years ain't too bad.
We're paying $70. We're going to pay $80. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That isn't the point. Okay?
Yeah.
It's a smart ass remark.
No,
we don't, it wasn't. It's a factual remark.
We've lived here 33 years. We've seen the fees go up from $70.
Yeah.
So we're not commenting about you're doing a lousy job or anything. We're just saying be open to discuss this and come up with a plan where everybody can understand what's going on.
And that's what we're doing.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Just a simple question. My wife works out, and I play tennis. So what happens? How would you? Does this mean if we do a couple fitness, then I get to play tennis, or what? Just a question.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's thought about it. Do you know the
have
answer?
Have you thought of it?
Balance. Okay.
Yeah, you pay $80. A question: since you said you were going to keep it status quo through the end of June. You did not know, which is not our problem, that everybody was being charged different rates. It was said it was going to keep status quo.
most of us who show records of what we can pay. I mean, I have it automatically deducted from my credit card. If you can't get records from the previous owners, which I think you can, we could, each of us can show what we've been paying.
Mm-hmm. I have my credit card.
So absolutely. And as somebody said earlier, it is a community center. It is not, you don't want it to be considered a fitness center. You cannot charge comparable rates to fitness centers. The other athletic centers have beautiful courts. They have a spa. They've got massage. They've got ladies' gymnasium just for the ladies to work out. They've got shampoo, conditioner, gorgeous shower. The facilities are immaculate. Yeah. We don't have any place near that. So you can't even consider within $20 we're comparable. We're really not.
Yeah, that's
thank you.
So maybe we should say status quo if you can show what they've been paying.
Sure. Thank you. Andy, I'll come back to the board after public comment. Any other public comment? Please, come up.
Hi, I'm Mary Reedy, and I've been a member of the club for, well, since 1987. And unlike the gentleman, our fee was always $60 mm-hmm. for the family. And for the majority of that time, I worked, so I didn't use the tennis club, the tennis court, per se, very often. But we did a little workout or whatever. Mm-hmm. But since I retired, I got really, really active in the tennis. And the former owner are a joke. And I believe you guys when you say you can't get the records, because they were the worst. They just didn't care. And I appreciate the fact that now that the town has acquired it, it's great because you've improved it and you've cleaned it up. And but as a member of the Tennis Association, we're not lazy. When we were in need of nets, in need of windshields, we had tournaments, and we derived money to buy them. So if this is what we wanted, what would be a viable reason to keep the rates down, we're willing to do it. I mean, I just want to help.
Did I understand you correctly? You paid $60 a month, and that included the tennis.
Oh yeah, it was always just the okay.
Family
facility
or single.
Oh no, Phil and I.
Phil
yeah.
And you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to close comment on this item and bring it back to the board.
Mr. President, if I may.
Yes, please.
I'd like to provide a little bit of clarification.
Okay.
We have, just in the last week, collected close to $5,000 in fees. And those are just people paying checks. The people that have paid credit cards, because we're still working on the credit card processing, are still coming in. The only time someone is not allowed access to the facility, it's not because they haven't paid. I want you to understand that. It's because there's a waiver form that everybody has to fill out. It's our waiver form. As a public agency, we're requiring them to fill out a new waiver form. Has it been popular? No. Is it required? Yes. And so we are collecting these waiver forms from everybody. It's a two-page form. They fill it out, provide their contact information, liability waivers, that sort of thing. So I just want the board to know that nobody has been not allowed into the club, as far as I know, due to lack of payment. It may be due to the fact that they have not completely filled out their waiver form.
I'm
back again.
I'll give you one more shot, but I already closed it for this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm going to let you talk, sir.
How do I know what I owe? I haven't gotten a statement from the town. Usually, when you run a business, you get a statement and an invoice.
It's
my question.
It's not a business.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not a business?
Well, I can't.
No.
My question is...
Please come to
Janet Nelson.
Talk to the microphone, please.
For a long time. Okay. My question is, do I pay this proposal? because you don't seem to want to make a decision tonight.
We,
and I
we will as soon as you okay, stop getting comments.
I
said I wanted to what?
I didn't know. Well, that's what you said.
I'm trying to save you some money, but I can shut up and let you pay retail. I'll keep quiet. I won't say another word.
I mean, the process is that I went out and hear your comments. Now we're going to come back and we're going to debate and we'll vote. But please, that's what we're going to do, okay? So I will open up for comments from the board.
The thing here that just really disturbs me is because, and you were here, young lady, and several of you were here, we looked at closing this athletic club. When we took that land over, the idea was to build a new community center.
Yep.
And one of the things we talked about was closing that because it's in bad shape. And this community went up in arms. How dare we close the athletic center? And we listened to you. Against our will to keep it open, we put a committee together. They spent hours and days and hours trying to put this together. And now instead of coming and saying, hey, thanks for keeping it open, and thanks for trying to work the fees out, now it's you guys are rotten because you're trying to raise our rates. You have crappy tennis courts, and this should be free. It isn't going to be free. It's not going to be free. We can't, that place is not going to pay for itself. What we're spending right now alone, we're so far over budget right now in a building we should have closed. You can't go to any town, use an athletic club, walk in and play tennis, use a pool, use a club for free. You can't do it. If I can find that town, I'll move there tomorrow and I'll do it myself. None of you can. I do agree with you that we said we would not raise your rates for the next 90 days while we looked at this, and I agree with you 100%. They should be exactly what you're paying. We don't know what you're paying because we thought everybody was on. We can only go by what the records we got. According to the athletic club, everybody was paying the same thing.
Obviously,
unless you come in and say, hey, here's my credit card receipts, here's what I'm paying. Nobody here is a mind reader. We don't know. We think we're doing the right thing, doing this town a favor, trying to keep the place open, and now we're defending ourselves here like we've done something horrible.
So the rates went up?
We're done with public comment.
And I think at this point, we're trying to resolve a fee schedule that works for everybody, if we can. And if not, as far as I'm concerned, I'd vote to close it. So,
Mr. Pease, sir.
Yeah, it appears that there's a issue between the past current members, users, and what we're proposing here. From what I've heard this evening, it appears that in lieu of having two fees, we should just combine them, and whatever the fee is, should be able to use the fitness center plus tennis, all one thing. That was what was in the past, so that we should keep going forward. I'm also a little discouraged that if there are some past members that paid in advance, as was stated here, to November, we need to honor that as long as it can be, you know, proven.
No, we don't.
Well, I'm not done with my discussion. If someone in this community paid these other folks, I don't know the number, I'm just going to say $100, and we've taken it over now, just out of community benefit, if they can come to us and say, I know the records are all messed up, but here's what I paid in advance, we should be able to honor that credit, and I think it's a goodwill gesture to the community to get over this proposal, the fee, all of those kind of things. So.
Okay. Any other comment?
Yeah. Being on the community center committee and listening a lot of input from the public and what I understand about what they were doing in the past, I think the best thing to do is to have a very simple schedule for the fitness, tennis, and swimming uses. I don't think we should have a la carte, and I think that what we understand is that there's people that have been getting some really great deals for a long time out here, and I think in the short term, you know, I recommend that we bring something that we already have an existing, what we had adopted earlier, and I would say instead of having people pull a bunch of paperwork out and having a whole bunch of multiple things going on, why don't we just suck it in a little bit here for a few months and drop the schedule down to a teen of $35, a single at $50, a couple at $60, and a family at $70. That would be a discount from what we have already had agreed to. I know there's a lot of survey work that the staff had done, but keeping things simple, and I think the last we had heard from the public in the past that having a fitness and a tennis schedule separate was very complicated and caused some animosity among the members. And so I would just suggest we keep a simple schedule that's we discount a little further right now to keep moving forward on this thing.
If I heard your suggestion, it was so it would combine tennis and usage, everything all in one. Just use the whole facility for one, whatever the fee is.
Like they're paying out, they get
which is, I don't have a problem.
Either,
at least, and through the period,
correct.
That the committee can get more information
until the June 30 number.
Staff,
thank you, Mr. President. The proposed schedule was broken down. Tennis members previously were paying the same rate that everybody was paying, and fitness people were paying the same rate, just to do fitness, and the fitness portion of it on the proposed schedule includes tennis. But what we did is we broke out those that just play tennis and don't use fitness and provided that opportunity for some savings. Now, with respect to the, and legal counsel can address this, with respect to pre-existing contracts, There are some legal issues with that, and Dan can probably better address that.
If I may, Mr. President, board members.
Please.
I will be speaking in lawyer, so please forgive me. I do not mean to single anybody out. When you purchased this property, you purchased the property. You didn't purchase the liabilities of the prior business. So you have no legal obligation to honor any advance payments that were made by the prior owner at all. Since you have no legal obligation to do so, you would effectively, if you were to do as one person has suggested, to honor those pre-advance payments, you would have to use public funds to essentially subsidize that prior payment. Under the California Constitution, you are prohibited from making a gift of public funds. And my concern is by doing so, that's exactly what you would be accused of doing here.
So the proposed schedule was more of a compromise, if you will. When this started coming up on the 1st of February, which was last Friday, 1st of March, I'm sorry, if you recall, February, we were just getting, you know, kind of getting into the flow of things, getting things cleaned up and worked up, and inviting people to come in and check it out and use the facility for no charge during the month of February because we ownership transitioned mid-month. It just seemed to make sense to do so. So when we had when the issues came up, first thing, started hearing about them on Friday morning, and then again into Saturday, myself, along with one of my staff, came in Saturday morning, and we amended the agenda and brought it to your attention to the first possible meeting that we could so that we could address this. There was certainly no intention to drag it on, but once we realized that we did have a dilemma, I believed, and my staff believed, that it was important for the board to address it and deal with it immediately. And so that's why it came to you tonight, and had it come up prior to March the 1st, we would have brought it to you at a prior meeting, but that's when it came up, and that's when it hit, if you will.
Do you have another comment?
I do, but let's...
No, go ahead.
Just so that I'm clear again, so this proposed fee, where it says fitness in the top left corner, it should really read fitness and tennis? Exactly.
I'm looking to Dina. Because Dina and Farron are actually working on this.
I think it was expected that the fitness would encompass everything.
Turn on your microphone.
You have to hold it down.
I think the understanding was the fitness was supposed to encompass everything, the whole entire facility. And then the tennis was giving them a break. If they only wanted to play tennis, we were going to give it at a different rate.
Right. So that's where
is it?
Yes.
Yeah. The way I'm looking at the proposed fee says that you would get a $10 for teens $10 for a single and $15 for a couple if you only played tennis, which really values the...
Where are you seeing $10?
If you get $25 and you're going to pay for tennis only,
yeah,
and it's $35 for a team to play the fitness and the tennis, then it says you only get it. You got a $10 deduction reduction,
okay,
which means it values the use of the exercise facility at only $10.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make, to me, it doesn't make sense to do
saying.
That. If anything, you could charge much less for tennis only. So we just need to think about that.
I didn't understand what you said.
When we refer to tennis only, it's primarily tennis. Number of the tennis players, I'm sure some in the room can attest to, when they come into the facility before they hit the court, some might hit the treadmill for 5 minutes. So that is something that we would certainly continue to allow because it's not the primary use. The primary use was the theory was that the primary use was tennis.
I think we're letting the folks.
Go ahead.
Okay, a couple things I'd like to address. First of all, there was mention of you don't charge at Cornell Park. There's no staff at Cornell Park. The biggest cost that we have over there currently is staff. It's not fair to ask 13,000 people to subsidize 300 people. So in order to make the community center, to make the fitness center component of the community center work, it's going to have to be paid for by those that use it. There's no funds available in our general budget or that we can find anywhere. They're just not there to maintain it without having a user fee. There also will be at some point in time the necessity for an a la carte fee. We don't want to have to charge somebody $35 in the summer to come in and use the pool with their family. There should be a fee for the pool use. It's just because it's not a membership. It's exactly what you said it was. It's a community center. Whatever portion of it you use, you need to pay for, but it doesn't, because it's not a membership, it doesn't make sense to pay a proposed $75 a month to use the pool 4 or 5 times during the summer because your family's there. It will be a lesser amount. And it's not based on the difference between what you're charging one on charging the other. It's based on the value of what you're using is. So to deduct the 25 from the 35 and then create a value doesn't really work. What we set up there. Now, I personally, I'm just saying that's the direction this needs to go as far as the community center, as far as been discussed with staff, I should say. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I don't need to address, because council said exactly what I would say. I'm really extremely sorry that people gave money to people that aren't upstanding enough individuals to give money back that wasn't being used. That is a small claims issue, or that is something that it's unfortunate that people don't have enough integrity to give back what's not theirs. There's words for that in society. I won't use them from this microphone. And the other thing that I find interesting, and I try not to sit up here and be very defensive, but we have spent a lot of time trying to satisfy a lot of people that have been coming to these rooms over the last month to try to make things work. But almost to every individual I heard come up to the microphone, you've talked about how poorly run, how dirty, how lack of maintenance, everything that the other owners did wrong, and then everyone came up and said, "We want you to do it just like the other owners did it." We're trying to differentiate ourselves from that.
Come on. We maintain the courts.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, but this is the way it was. We want it to stay the same. Well, we're trying to make it different. We're trying to improve it. We're lowering the prices.
No, you're not.
We are lowering the prices. These are the posted prices. The proposed prices are lower. We have lowered the prices if we adopt the proposed pricing. We don't have access to other people's information that doesn't give it to us. We don't know what everybody was paying. And to be quite honest about it, our system is not going to allow to have 220 different fee structures in it. It's just not feasible to have the people at the front desk or the account. We'd have to hire another accounting person just to deal with all the different fees that everybody had. That's probably why they don't know what they were collecting, because it just isn't feasible for a public entity to do that. We're trying to get this thing to run in the red, you guys. In the black. It's been running in the red. It's been running in the red forever. We're trying to get it to run in the black, and we're doing it without doing anything exorbitant. If, in fact, that the athletic component cannot support itself, then the athletic component goes away. It's that simple. And the board has been generous enough to give us till June 30th to make that happen. Is that correct, staff? And so if we get enough interest and we get enough use of the facility, then we continue to have a full-fledged athletic component. But again, if we're going to subsidize, who wants to pay for someone else to drive a car? Why should you pay for someone else to work out? It's just not right to the rest of the people in the community. So we're trying to do the best we can with what was handed to us on a very short notice. We felt that closing it would have been the wrong thing to do. And so we've tried to work with that, under that premise. And actually, I'm looking at you guys to increase the amount of people that come into there. Because if we don't increase it, then we're going to have to make a decision on whether or not it's feasible to keep it used because of the staff amount. The building's there. The equipment's there. It's the monthly cost of keeping the place open with regards to energy usage, staffing, primarily staffing, that has to be addressed. And I'm really sorry that you guys feel that we're asking for something exorbitant here, because I really don't think we are. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Mr. President.
Did you have something else?
Not at this moment.
All right, I will entertain. Is there a motion?
I don't know, because I don't like this piece of schedule.
Well, I'm going to break us down into two things. I think we're only talking about going from now to June.
Correct.
And if we're trying to keep the community used to how they did it in the past, regardless of the numbers, I'd like to make one motion that we just have one fee until the end of June that covers,
full use,
the tennis and all of it. I'm not saying one fee only, but
one fee
it's all inclusive from now till June. So I'd like to make that motion. We can talk about the actual fees on the second motion.
I'd like to have a motion on the whole thing. You just want to make that motion?
That's fine.
I'll make,
there's a motion. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, so if I get the motion right, you want to have one fee for
four
the
years,
whole thing?
4 years.
Well, I'm not saying one
no,
fee.
But
I'm
no just discount saying, for tennis.
It's all, it's a use fee, the current use fee structure that we may pass would include usage of the entire facility, tennis, the pool if it ever gets there.
Yeah.
All
until
of that.
June. Until we.
Until June, correct.
Yeah. Okay. We've had a motion and a second. You seconded? Any other? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now we have to come up with the fee.
So one thing I think would be good to have is a day use fee, and maybe that's a $5 or a $10 item.
No. I would propose at this point that we revert to the recommendation that the Community Center Committee made to the board and that the board proposed, which includes the component that we just voted on. And I would propose that it occur under the fee schedule listed under proposed under fitness monthly fee.
35, 45, 65.
Hold on, while I put my glasses on.
Oh, put your glasses.
What? Fitness. Broken down as team singular couple or is
the, all four of those categories with everything except the everything on this sheet except what says tennis. because we agreed not to do that.
Okay, monthly fee, 35, 45, 65, and for a couple, which is cheap, and 75 for a family. That's correct.
Till June?
Till June.
To the end of June.
What the board read.
End of June.
End of June.
Statement is
always. Yeah, second.
Can I add one comment, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
The day use fee, I've been, since Baron cut out, I've actually been texting her during the course of this meeting with some questions and that sort of thing, and I'm waiting for a response here, but I believe the day use fee is the same fee that's been charged for quite some time. So if someone, for example, is visiting here in town and they want to, they're visiting family and they want to come in and use it for a few days because they're here on, they're visiting family or maybe they're here for whatever reason, we believe that it's, that it would be appropriate to provide the opportunity for day use, very similar to once we get into, if we get into the swimming season, that there can be day use fees for the swimming pool, that we would offer the same type of opportunity for fitness as well.
What is that?
Yeah. It's on the bottom of the first page where it says guest fees. Under proposed, I'm sorry, it's actually under both of them. $5, 17 and under, and $8, 18 and up.
Okay. Just for clarification, Mr. President, if I might?
Yes.
I propose, my motion encompasses this entire sheet except for what is, comes underneath tennis, that tennis section, so that would include those fees.
I'll still second.
Okay. Second stays the same?
Is that correct, Council?
You can do that,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any additional comment?
Well, are you, Kevin, are you including the, you're including the child care in our people? Yeah, the only question I have is why make it $3 difference for 17 and under and 18 and over, and you come in alone and you're 14 and you have to pay $10. Why don't we just make one day use fee, whatever it is.
The only answer for that is because the board agreed to keep the schedule that the previous once had, and that
we're trying to make this easy. Let's make it easy. You got to show an ID.
They said they wanted the same. Now they don't.
It's up to us. So the question is, you know, you're going to come in. Okay, show me your library card because you're under 16. Oh no, I'm 14 and above, and that's just too complicated. Okay. Let's pick a number for a day use fee, and it covers whoever comes through the door, and it's over. It's like easy.
How about $300?
I probably wouldn't support you.
Huh? Okay. I will amend my motion to include a single user day user fee of $7, irregardless of
age.
They have to walk on two legs.
I'll second it again.
But that's about it. Are we getting there?
So, point of clarification, if I may, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
The motion would be to approve the proposal with the following changes. Deleting the three fees for tennis only, and changing the guest fees from the three that are mentioned to one fee of $7 per person per day use. Is that correct?
That's my motion.
And did it include the child care?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
That's pretty cheap. I have a question.
Go ahead.
How do we offer child care?
There are identified hours at the club right now, or the facility right now, that has certain times of the day where there is a drop-in period where parents can come in, work out, and they can drop their children off, and there is an extra staff member there to cover that.
Is there a time limit on how long they can leave the kids?
Yeah, it's while they're there for their classes. They can't drop them and leave them and go shopping. they can work out, they can play tennis, they can do, so long as it's during that specific period of time of the day. It's generally when the classes are being held.
Where do these kids end up?
They end up over at the kids area. There's an area to the south of the building.
Reach in.
I'll go there.
They want treasure hunts.
All right. Okay. I've heard a motion and a second. Any additional comments? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We will now go on to item G3. Staff, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item before you this evening is to authorize PG&E to put in power, electric power distribution system over our wastewater treatment plant number one. The additional power is required as part of the influent pump station W, and emergency storage lagoon project that have been previously approved by the board, and they're actually currently out to bid right now. I believe they're going to have to bid this week, Monday. And so the amount of the contract with PG&E to provide that electrical service, it's the equipment that they have to bring in, is $28,000. And so we're recommending tonight that the board authorize general manager to execute all contractual documents. Our district engineer, Gregory Harris, is in the room this evening. If the board does have any questions, he's certainly available to answer them.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, I do have a question. I'm just trying to get my arms around it. This appears to be a pretty big electrical upgrade, if you will. What do these new pumps do that that takes so much electricity?
As far as PG&E's concerned, it's not a very big upgrade. $28,000 for them is...
Well, yeah. I think it's pretty big here, but anyway.
The new pumps are in conformance with the master plan that was completed that allows the accommodation of the district boundary in terms of the planning horizon for them, and accommodates peak well weather events and other things that occur when we do the master plan event. We monitor what happens when rain happens, what are peak flows to the facilities, and we have to project that forward relative to the service boundaries in the master plan. So that's how the pumps got larger. It turns out that the facilities that were there were basically right at the limit for what was out there originally. So not really that much bigger, relatively speaking, but we broke the back, if you would, and we had to go to the next size up, and PG&E came in and said, well, we only put the minimum size. You know, once you go to this, you have to go this far. That's all we'll put in, and that's how they ended up interacting.
All right, so it's maybe a little bit more power than we're currently using indoor need in the short term once this upgrade is done.
Yeah, exactly. Our base load is not going to change a lot, but in fact, the facilities that PG&E now is putting into Plant 1 is just as big as everything we have Plant 2, and Plant 2 is twice as big. And the reason being is we said we just need a little bit more, and they came back and said, well, that's fine, but our minimum size is X. So even though you only need like A plus B, we want you all the way here because we just won't put it in. So that's where we ended up. And so there's plenty of power there. We won't need it, but there is.
Okay, so we'll have future electrical capacity if needed and down the road.
For long roads, yeah.
All right. In the new system, it's for future plans for future development if it takes place.
Correct. That's right.
Thank you.
Well, part of the problem is, Director Pease, is that if we were to put the new pumps in and the new equipment in and we were to turn it on and run, we wouldn't have the power to operate it. So we had to build the electrical grid, if you will, to accommodate that equipment. And so when Greg's indicated that they only, we only need this much more, but they're making us buy this much more, that's part of the unfortunate situation.
I understand. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Any audience comment on this? Okay. Can I get a motion?
I move that we approve the action item that's coming up before me as I speak to authorize PG&E to provide the necessary electrical upgrades associated with the influent pump station, and that we authorize the general manager to execute the necessary contractual documents not to exceed $29,000.
Second.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes. Next item is G4.
G4, we're going to pull that item tonight. We're not quite ready for it. We'll bring it back to the next board meeting.
Okay.
item number, if we can skip for just for a moment item number G5 and go to G6 only because Greg Harris is in the room.
Sure.
And since he just did the last item. Every 5 years, as a sanitary district, we are required to update our National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, or NPDES permit. It's on a 5-year rotation. Our 5 years is up, and it's scheduled for renewal this November. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to, again, our district engineer, Greg Harris, so that he can address the issues and go ahead and explain what this entails.
So thanks, Rick. Again, Gregory Harris from Herwood Engineering. I'm a district engineer. 5 years ago, we made this document, this notebook right here. And this has to be prepared under the guidance of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And it's a very technical document. It requires them to, we have to go back and collect literally thousands of pieces of data. For every piece of data we've recorded, period, for the last 5 years, every single piece of data, on every sample pulled. So every single sample we've pulled in the last 5 years, for any reason, we have to collect that and organize it, okay? And then we have to analyze it, and then we have to put out and answer questions if they want specific questions. So the questions they want is this 10-page list. Okay, and so there's 10 pages of all broken down finite detail they want, and then they want it uploaded in a special electronic format that allows them to turn around and do their own analysis on top of the analysis that is done here. So it's a fairly complicated analysis. Now, you may recall, 5 years ago, if you were around, I think Ray was around, the original budget for this, we actually budgeted $100,000 to do this study. Stantec, who was originally Ecologic at the time, we contracted with Ecologic Beautiful. They did the work for $60,000. And so they were able to get it done for a lot less. This time around, they're at $40,000 because we have managed to get more efficient, and also Veolia keeps better records than Southwest Water did. So we had to just, with Southwest Water, we had to do every single thing from scratch. You had to go find every piece of data, hand enter it, and do stuff like that. Veolia keeps better records. So they're able to be more efficient about it. But this is just the list of new questions in addition to everything we had to answer 5 years ago that they want. So it's a rather complicated analysis. The other thing you might remember is it really matters who you have do this. Because early on, we were getting fined for like copper, and we were getting fined for other things. In fact, we even entered a lawsuit with the regional board to try and stop them from fining us on copper. Stantec was able to get that out of our permit. So it isn't just a matter of like filling out the forms and regurgitating and just sending it off. You're trying to position what you present to the regional board so that they don't change our permit too drastically. Because if they change the permit, as you notice, like with the UV violations that we were getting, you know, little tiny changes in the permit can suddenly create huge potentials for us to have violations that either cost us money to get out of the violations or cost us money to find. So it's the defining document for the district. So it's an important document, and we're recommending you stick with Stantec. They're very skilled at it, and that's the proposal for you today.
How many other water districts do they provide this service to?
Stantec?
Yeah.
They've probably done... in terms of individual clients, they probably have a rolling list of around 30 or 40. And in their history, just since we've been doing it, they've probably done 200.
Okay. What? Just so I can absorb it and come up to speed, because I'm not on that committee, I have to ask because I'm voting on money. Approximately, what's the time frame once they start their analysis and their gathering of data? Does it take them to... complete
that? That's a great question. 5 years ago, it took them 4 months because they really had to do a lot of work pulling data together. This time, this is due to the regional board on May 3rd. So if we authorize tonight, they'll start next week, and they have till May 30 to get it done. has to be turned into the regional board 6 months before the permit's up.
So they got 90 days.
Yeah, basically they got 90 days to get it done.
But also they interact with the board after that May.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, once you turn this in, depending on how fast the regional board works, they'll send you a draft of your permit, and you want to read that very, very carefully, and then you respond back, and you hopefully you can manipulate the answer. Not always are you successful in doing that before you get a final permit.
And this is all inclusive in this fee that they're charging.
Well,
the analysis.
I will say in general, yes. You don't know for sure what the regional board asks, but sometimes they'll come back and want more studies or other things. Barring something like that, it's all included. You know, if it's just general, review the permit and respond and provide comments. But sometimes they come back in the permit or during analysis and they want more analysis done that's beyond all of this. And then since you don't know what any of that could be, that would not be included. But in general, we're not expecting that. We're expecting a fairly simple permit this time around. And the fee reflects that and the work anticipated for the regional board coming back reflects that.
In relationship to a waste treatment system that we have here, if we were to kind of say, well, this is a medium, a large, a small, where do we fit in the waste management business?
We're a medium facility. We're medium size for a city college.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to clarify on that, the regional board thinks we are large, but we are, in our world, we think we are medium, but the regional board thinks we are large.
So, are there different requirements from the permitting standpoint for users that have a greater volume than one that has a smaller volume, or are we looking at the actual end product, whatever's coming out, whether you're doing 5 million gallons a day or 2 million gallons a day?
It's the same product. It's just you have a lot more data as you get bigger. So you have a lot more analysis to do because they record so much more stuff because they have so much more stuff going on. But everyone's got to fill out the same 10 pages. Everyone's got to do the same analysis. And so for a small community, like a really small community, it's very expensive to do this permit because it takes just, like $40,000 is like cheap. This is the cheapest I've ever seen this permit come in.
I'm going from the other side. I haven't seen a $40,000 get your permit ready. So I'm learning.
If a small community would still have to pay that. And of course, if it's not done right, there's some communities that pay twice. Because if you get into a permit, that's hurting you, and believe me, we've experienced it here. You get into a permit that's hurting you to the tune of $3,000 every time something goes wrong, it gets really expensive. And there are towns that have, maybe didn't have the right person fill this out the first time. They get a permit they don't want, and that's hurting them. And then they turn around and they'll do the whole process all over again just to try and get the permit changed, because the permit is so painful, it's worth paying another firm to just come in and do it again.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. If I may, one of the other constituents that you need to worry about is where do you discharge your clear water to? In our case, it's Old River. And Old River, they analyze each one of the rivers to see how much salinity is in there today, how much copper, how much lead, and so forth. So based on that, they're going to dictate to whoever comes into Old River, you may have to clean up your water, make it even cleaner before you go into Old River. And remember, we are only about a mile up from Clifton Port Bay, which Metropolitan Water wants the water that we discharge cleaner, so they don't have to clean it down over there anymore.
Just to give you a quick example, what Virgil's talking about, it's called an anti-degradation analysis. Okay, so one of the things that makes your permit very complicated is where you discharge into. So, like I said, all the way back into page 7, then we get into a thing called an anti-degradation analysis, where you have to analyze every impact that you have in the river on every fish, on any biological component, under everything under EPA rules that you could be doing in the river. And then you have to demonstrate back to them that you're not hurting anybody for every constituent you have in your wastewater. So that's every metal, every VOC, every single thing in there. Okay, and so it is a very time-consuming exercise to go through and check off all those things. But that's, you know, here's an example. This is everything, just one page here is everything on the anti-degradation analysis. You don't even get to it until page 7.
Thank you.
Any other board questions? Any audience questions? Can I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We'll now go to item G5.
Thank you, Gregory, for that information. It's very helpful.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. President, members of the board, back in December of last year, it was brought to the board's attention that the last time that there had been an adjustment with respect to the board's stipend levels was back in 2002. Pursuant to Government Code 61047, as well as Chapter 2 with Section 2200 of Division 10 of the Water Code, the board is allowed to adjust stipends up to 5% per year. You could go back and do that differently. You go back and add retroactively. When it came back to the board made the recommendation to go ahead and to just increase them by $15 per day of service. A day of service is identified in Government Code 61047 sub E. And so what we are bringing forward to the board tonight is to introduce an ordinance to the Board of Directors of Town Discovery Bay adopting the establishment of compensation for the Board of Directors. Myself and legal counsel are available to answer any questions.
I missed a couple of meetings, but didn't we do this already? I thought we had passed that.
If I may, you had been brought this item at your request back in December to discuss what your options were, and then you directed staff at that point to bring it back. As you may recall from the prior staff report, the increase must be done by way of adoption of an ordinance. So before we began the ordinance process, we needed to get your feedback as to, A, whether you wanted to change anything, and B, what that change was. And so what's presented to you tonight is the ordinance as you had directed us back in December. And our specific request is that you waive the first reading and then follow the recommendations in the staff report.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Any feedback from the audience? I'll take a motion.
Move staff recommendation and waive the first reading.
Second.
Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No?
No.
No. 3-2. I'm going to go to H, presidents and directors' reports, and I'll start with Director Steele.
I have nothing to report tonight. I did attend the East Contra Fire Protection District meeting on Monday. There was a lengthy, we're not the only ones that do it, closed session that ran us about 45 minutes into the regular session meeting. And the only points of interest is that there is some interest in the district in selling surplus real estate. Yeah, but they have not taken any action on that. I've shared with you some of the response times information that they distribute there, which is good news for us. I didn't mention it earlier, but Bethel Island's response times are 12 minutes and 9 seconds, and Cal Fire Station in Morgan Territory, 13 minutes and 39 seconds. So that's why I made the comment that we were down. The board did vote to have a workshop, and that will be held on the 16th of March, and it will be held at, you know what, hold on a second, I'll get like it. It will be held at, that's not it, it'll be held somewhere, I guarantee you. I apologize for not
So we're going to have a meeting.
Oh, it's going to be at Station 93 on O'Hare Avenue in Oakley. I apologize. It's one of the classrooms. And I knew it was someplace different than where they usually meet at the Oakley thing. So it's at Station 93, which is at 530 O'Hare Avenue, March 16th. I'm hoping to attend, but we may have to be out of town. And it's going to be, because we're still in trouble here, guys. We're still in trouble as a district. They received a grant that's going to get them through the next 2 years, but we're already working towards what are we going to do after 2 years from now to make sure that Station 59 doesn't get closed down. So that's all I have to report on the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. I would like to make another comment with regards to the action that we just took, and I just want to...
Action.
That was the stipend, the compensation situation, and just want to acknowledge that through this whole process, Director Simon and Director Tetro steadfastly stood by their principles. In fact, this was the third time now that they voted against that, and I would just encourage them not to compromise their principles when these stipends actually come out by standing on those principles and rejecting the acceptance of those stipends as a matter of principle. I think that would really make your point. And that's all I have.
Thank you for that. Director Pease.
It wasn't a joke,
though. I made a comment on the code enforcement. That's the only
comment
other areas that I visited while we were adjourned.
Director Simon, I have no comments. Manager's report?
I got just two real quick ones. One on the update on the park transfer agreement. Before we lost our connection, Farron was going to go ahead and give you that. We continue to discuss and work with the county. As you noticed in the budgets that were provided to you on your tables this evening, there's a two-year budget process. We spent a lot of time getting into all the different components of the parks and the facilities and the underground plumbing and the sprinkler heads. And so we are meeting with the county next week. We hope to have a draft of an agreement out of the county within the next 30 to 45 days. Then it would be able to go to legal, our legal department review, and then obviously to the board for a first cut of it. And we're still hoping to have that transfer agreement in place where we would then become the owners of both Slifer and Regatta Park, since we already maintain them and operate them. And the county owns them right now, and they have jurisdictional control. Although under an agreement with the county, we operate them. So we're hoping to have that by June the 30th, by the end of the fiscal year, moving into the next fiscal year, beginning on July the 1st. The only other item I have has to do with the discussion a little bit that took place earlier this evening on the community center. There have been a number of items that have been taking place out there. A number of you have been out there visiting the site. We continue to make headway and progress. As I've indicated before, and as I'll continue to indicate, we are doing the best we can with limited budgets and the amount of money we have. We are continuing to be very concerned and watch those figures and watch those numbers very closely. So I just want to remind everybody that, again, Rome wasn't built in a day. We're working hard on making it a nicer facility than it was. Those of you that have been in there, you know that, you've seen that. And so I just want to give the board an update as to where we are with that.
That doesn't include your general manager's report?
That was my general manager's report, Mr. President.
Thank you. Legal report?
No report, sir.
Okay. And now the committee updates. I think, have we already had that, or do you have something?
Do we have to approve the minutes?
They've already been approved.
Oh, they are approved minutes, No, I think we've beat that horse.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. President and Chairman Graves of the committee, we do have a scheduled meeting for Monday. I understand there's a potential conflict with that, and it may be rescheduled, or is that?
It is scheduled for Tuesday.
It will be rescheduled for Tuesday. Thank you for that.
All right.
We will get the word out.
Thank you. Okay.
Any comments on the... correspondence. Okay, and then we have the public request that we've received. Any future agenda items?
I don't know whether this is an agenda item or not, or how we would handle this. I have a lot of questions about the people who did inspections on our building for the athletic club prior to the close of escrow. I know that the pool issue is coming back on to the next agenda, which I know for fact I've been very involved with that with the person who's doing it. Because we can't go out and contact as a board and talk to these people who did some of the estimates, can we have, I know that the person who's giving us the pool estimate will be here, because I have questions I'd like to ask them. I would also, if it's possible, like to have the people who did the building inspection and our electrical inspection here at the same time, because I have questions I'd like to ask them too. We've never got a chance to talk to any of these people.
I can do my best to try and get them here. I'm not sure that...
I know the person who did the electrical, Greg will come on a moment's notice. He works for the town, and I know Tony will. He's giving us the pool estimate.
Well, there were other people that did other inspections. We had geotechnical inspections. We had...
I'm kind of curious about the building inspection. I'd like to
speak. We had, yeah.
Part of the reason I've been so adamant about having the board involved on all these decisions versus the community.
At this point, if you can't go into the discussion.
I understand. I just brought it up to you.
But I'm going to ask the president's point.
Is that your agenda?
That's,
okay.
That's what I'd like to see.
I'm good for right now. Thank you, sir.
See you. Okay. Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you for coming, folks.